can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 390. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I am joined solo by Nick to the First Power. That's Nick Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, streaming live, as always, on KOOP.org. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. On the show today, we have Austin Playhouse and their show, Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery. And later on in the show, we'll be talking to one of the actors from Broadway Across America's production of Cinderella. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the views of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, and Franklin's Barbecue. Stick with us.
I've never been satisfied.
Is that right?
I've never been satisfied.
I've never been satisfied.
Well, I was.
Sometimes. I'm not satisfied because we're missing Nick Squared.
Nick Squared. I'm like, Nick Solo.
Nick Solo, Nick number one to the First Power.
But it has to be said, Nick Solo. Nick Solo.
So he's evidently doing something with a trail of lights. Is he installing lights?
No, he does some furniture setup of some sort. I think it's the same furniture stuff like he did for all the VIP at ACL Festival.
Lovely. Who knew?
Who knew? He's everywhere.
Who knew? Well,
we will be missed.
So this is a shout out to Mr. Nick Mayo.
I'm missing Nick Squared.
Nick Squared. So I'm going to just check in with you, Nicole Shiro, Nick to the First Power.
Hello. I am here.
How you had some Franklin barbecue last night?
I had Franklin barbecue.
You went to some incredible concert last night as well.
I went to Dolly Parton, man. That woman is everything.
Speaking of theater.
Everything. Well, she is Broadway credit.
I said speaking of
she's
theater.
She's a performer. She's a philanthropist. She's a businesswoman, a songwriter.
She's a businesswoman?
A businesswoman. An actress. I mean, she's a class act, that Dolly Parton.
There's nothing she can't do.
And she looks darn good. I want to be 70 and looking like that. And mm-hmm. I was like, Mom, her hiney's perfect. She's in her 70s.
She's 85.
That would be like the Tony Bennett. He's up there right now.
That's crazy.
But man, she's everything. She played 3 hours. 7:30 started and it got out at 10:30.
Wow.
Yeah, that is 25. So I actually played 26 songs.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What was the highlight? What was your favorite song?
Jolene.
Of course. You knew that before you even went.
I kept saying, I got it. She rolled that, busted that one out pretty early.
She busted out. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us. Mr. Ben Wolf, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
Ms. Marie Falgren.
Hello.
First time here.
First time.
Also, Zach Thomas.
Hello.
Also first time. I'm going to ask you to move that microphone closer to your mouth so we can hear you. So the weather is not raining.
Which is good.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We like that.
Yeah, so that's incredible. So that's the official weather report.
Nicely done.
So in the news,
it's cold.
It is cold.
Oh,
so
you like the cold though?
I do like the cold. I much prefer it.
Are you ready for the cold coming tomorrow though?
Yeah,
I'm in love with the cold.
Yeah, I'm all over it. I'm good with it. So that little piece of music we played was Satisfied, and.
Were you satisfied?
It was. It's from a little show called Hamilton, but this was the Hamilton mixtape, which dropped this week.
Yes.
And I promised myself I wasn't going to play anything, but I went through and I listened to some of the things. One of the things that I forgot the name of the song that King George sings. The only white guy in the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy Fallon and the Roots sing that.
Yes,
nice. I love that.
That you now are like all about the Roots.
I'm not all about the Roots. They've just been very active in this particular
Yes, I know. But before you were like, I don't know them. I'm like, but you do. And
no,
you
I know,
love them.
I know them.
You
I
love
just
them
don't.
Now. I love it. It makes me happy.
Well, I wish I could say you were accurate, but you're not.
Well, that's not. That's sad.
I just talk about them because they're very involved in my boy Lin-Manuel Miranda. Anyway.
They were big before Lin-Manuel.
I know they were. I'm just saying. You're asking me why I'm talking about them. I'm talking about them because they.
I know, but you
like,
secretly
mixtape.
Fell in love.
I have not.
Like no, but you do. I know you do.
Okay, never mind. You cannot win an argument with Nicole Shiro. So Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which has been playing in London for like 6 months now, to sold out houses, hotter than Hamilton.
I know.
It's coming here to the Lyric.
Yes, it is.
And the Lyric.
Spring, too, which I thought was like pretty early.
Yeah, well, but they're going to close the Lyric and renovate the Lyric, which has just been renovated.
I couldn't figure that. Yeah.
Well, because they evidently have some very specific things, and they're kicking the Cirque out. Forgot Paramore. Out of the Lyric, and evidently they're making it worth their while. They gave them an offer they can't refuse.
Well,
to leave.
Did they give them some Kloss and Pickles at the same time?
They did.
Do you remember those commercials?
I do not.
Okay. Yeah, you looked at me funny, so I'm like, yeah.
They were all over the Kloss and Pickles. But are y'all, anybody Harry Potter fans?
Oh, yeah. Me.
Big time.
Fans of the
big
books,
time.
For
did
sure.
anybody see, we'll just talk, big time what?
Of the books.
The books, yeah. The books. My mom and I were talking about that yesterday. Isn't that weird that Harry Potter is like 25 years old since like, all the books and everything came out. Crazy. Wow.
I saw the most recent one.
25.
The recent movie?
The prequel, the recent movie.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like it.
Okay, I didn't either.
At all.
Oh, the one in the theaters right this moment with Eddie Redmayne and all that?
I think
that
came in with
Fantastic
the wrong expectations.
No, it had no plot as far as
that's
I was concerned.
That's what I was like ready to be like inspired
and very
by.
Noisy.
Yeah,
it was very noisy.
Yeah,
lots
we were
of
sitting pretty close
explosive.
To a lot of whizzing,
lots of whizzing
and explosions.
And
I thought that the sound design was more adult. I thought that they kind of brought
no, it was
an
more
adult
boy.
Edge. Maybe it was more boy.
It was totally boy. It was like, how can we make big sounds that whoosh all over the theater?
It was an action movie.
So anyway,
I loved it.
But I was like, I like that kind of stuff.
Well, then you should go see it.
So it was very like Die Hard. Is that what you're telling me?
It was Die Hard in a wizarding world kind of way.
Yeah. Die Hard, Muggle Harder.
Die Hard rocks.
We had a couple of openings.
You didn't
big
get
openings.
The reference because like Snape was Hans Gruber.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So we're going to just drop that and we're going to go on. So A Bronx Tale opened.
I know. I these little clips make me happy.
Well, it was a very blasé across the board. Not so great, but everybody said it's good, but it's not
it's
great.
It's just not that good.
It's like iced tea. Not the singer.
I was about to say,
drink.
I would be totally down with Ice-T and, you know, Singer
it was
Man.
Like, it said, oh, here's the Charles Isherwood metaphor. Sometimes plain old pasta with red sauce is just what the doctor ordered. So it's just like pasta and red sauce. There's nothing special about it. Nothing great about it.
You get a good red
like,
sauce.
Most people like the Alan Menken and Glenn Slater score.
Yeah, the score, that's what... I mean, visually, it always works for me, but those little videos, it's the score that gets me.
Yep.
So I could see that.
And the set was by Beowulf Bort. Now, those of you who are watching television...
He's on TV all the time.
Do you see his Surface commercial?
Yes.
That set that he's talking about is this set.
Oh, I did not know that.
Because they said, featuring five period fire escapes and storefronts and light on their feet and moving around, like he said. So I am going to New York tomorrow, and I do not think I will be going to see this.
Was it on your? Oh, it was on your maybe possibility list.
No, it
wasn't
on
it?
Any list.
I was like, I didn't think I heard you verbally say anything about it.
What are you going
to
see?
But I did.
She did get tickets to a good one
to the show that just opened. That will be probably winning the Tony Award.
Really?
Best musical, I think.
It's the other clips I'm loving.
If these reviews were anything, so that's Dear Evan Hansen, which just opened, and with Benjamin Platt. And of course, I did not print out the New York Times review for some reason. I printed it out, but I'm very discombobulated today. But anyway, Ben Platt, who does anybody watch the Pitch Perfect movies? Because he was, that's where he got his start.
Right. I haven't seen
it. He's sort of a baby-faced young kid, and he is running away.
He is baby-faced.
Yeah, he looks like this. There's the picture. Hold on, let me show it to the audience.
And those radio listeners are like, wow, babyface.
So Adam Felcom of Time Out New York said, simply put, Platt is giving one of the greatest leading male performances I've ever seen in a musical, and the thrillingly modern and moving Dear Evan Hansen is worthy of it. Roma Torre, New York 1, Platt is in a class all to himself. Charles Isherwood of the New York Times, the marvelous young actor Ben Platt is giving a performance that's not likely to be bettered on Broadway this season.
Oh, that's amazing. That's hard to live up to. I don't know if I'd want to get that expectation. That's...
And Pasek and Paul, this is sort of their breakout because they've done song cycles. They've never really had any. I don't know if they've had anything open on Broadway, have they?
I don't. Where's Nick? Nick would know. Tell us, and then
he'll call in.
Maybe he's Texan. He did text since we've been on.
What's he saying?
I don't know.
Well, you'll take a look.
I'll let us know.
But it's really good, and I'm going to see it tomorrow night.
Very nice.
Awesome.
Wow.
Very nice.
He says, I love you both, and I'm listening in a Penske loaded with furniture.
Oh, lovely. Get your Penske over here. I'm just sorry. I started to think of a vice president joke, but then I decided against it. But the storyline, we've talked about Dear Evan Hansen on this show a lot. And the storyline is very, it could be a big downer because it deals with bullying and suicide, teen suicide and things like that. But it's evidently very uplifting. So it's got lots of positivity in the end. The storyline basically goes on two misfit kids that do not know each other. One of them wrote letters to this other one, and the other guy committed suicide. He had the letter on him. His family presumed that they were friends and reached out to him, and he becomes part of this boy's family that committed suicide, and he didn't know. And it's supposed to be, I just can't wait.
I'm so excited that you're getting to see that. Being jealous of people, but I'm jealous of you.
You can be jelly.
Okay. Very jelly. Very, very.
So, I should have talked about this at the beginning when we talked about Ham for Ham, which there was a video with The Roots and Regina Spektor and Ashanti doing a Ham for Ham for the release of...
The album.
The mixtape. And they did it actually in the theater before a performance. I don't know if it was before a performance or on a Monday.
I don't know. Yeah.
But they did it in the theater, and there's an 18-minute video link on our site, offstageonair.com, if you want to see it. But I'll tell you what, I was blown away by, and I'm so not into pop music at all. I don't know any of these people. I've never seen this person, but Ashanti?
Yeah.
Awesome.
You liked her.
Awesome.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're loving The Roots and Ashanti.
I don't love The Roots.
I know what I'm getting for Hanukkah.
I do like the name Questlove, though.
Oh, you know that he is famous for his fried chicken, too. He's been on a lot of cooking shows. He, sells it and is, well-known. He's one of the best. And I'm like, I need to get my hands on that recipe. Oh, yeah.
And here I have an issue with Regina Spektor.
Whoa, really? Okay, what happened?
She's the only one of those three I listen to.
Now, my only issue is I think of Ronnie Spector when I hear that name.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
it's a
completely,
they're like nothing near each other. And so whenever I see her or hear her, I have to go through a little, because she was in the anti-folk movement in the 80s, which is totally different from Motown.
Yes.
Just want to, in case you didn't know.
This is Ronnie.
That is kind of. Hmm?
This is Ronnie Spector?
No, Regina Spector.
Regina was in the.
She's in the anti-folk or the alt-folk in the 80s. Huh. I had to look her up. That's what it said. Check the Wikipedia.
Wow. her career is a lot longer than I thought it was.
See, now you love her even more, right?
She's not a youngster. She sang on this as well. She sang on...
But I love that you... That's really polar opposites of the association.
It's the same thing with my...
It's the Spectre thing.
You know, it's the same thing with my Bronx Tale. And I keep thinking of it's an animated...
And you think it's American Tale. Yeah, there's no foul.
Yeah, that would be a completely different story there.
Yeah. I'm not the brightest tool in the elevator.
That's not true.
It's true.
No.
Let's see. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, hold on. Nobody panic. La La Land.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
When the first trailer came out, I kind of was like, whoa, I really like it. Now they've had additional ones, and it's kind of interesting.
Looking forward to it. And it's sort of a mix between a musical and a movie with music.
He made it as a creative nod to the old movie musicals, like Singing in the Rain. That was the whole reason he wanted to do this.
But there are times when characters break out into song, mm-hmm. and then there are other times that songs are part of the story.
Do you know what it reminded me of? And I cannot think of the name of the movie right now, but the one with Goldie Hawn and Steve Martin, and they're all singing.
Oh, God.
And the fountain, and it was really actually good. And you were like,
oh, the
what?
One in black and white? It was.
No, it wasn't black and white.
Okay, never mind.
And they were like a family in New York.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to find out. I'm going to Brad Meltzer here. So, I want to know.
La La Land looks good because of the way the dialogue's written, I feel like.
There's a lot
of it's
cool...
very modern.
Yes.
It's not, they're not throwing back in terms of the way people speak. I mean, they're not going back to that era that way. Like, it's a lot of modern reference, and people are speaking in the now,
which is so cool. Like, it's
old fashioned.
It's I feel like he's paying homage without having to go and recreate the whole thing.
Definitely.
And do his own thing, which is a totally new way to look at something and bring back something that was really important and vibrant and to a lot of people. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. I am too.
Yeah.
Looking and I'm gonna figure out what that darn Goldie Hawn Steve Martin singing movie is.
You'll figure it out.
I will.
But stay with the show at the same time.
I am.
Speaking of Fathom Events, which you talked about 2 weeks ago, when that She Loves Me was going to play in movie theaters.
It played on December 1st.
Right, Fathom Events.
At Le Cinéma.
Next week or in 2 weeks, of course, I did not write down the date because I'm not very good that way. Allegiance is playing at Fathom Events, and it's playing three cinemas here in Austin.
Yeah,
I sort of want to see Allegiance. Do y'all know what we're talking about?
It's the George Takei.
It's the George Takei, who I call George Takei.
Takei, sorry.
No, you're right. I'm wrong.
Okay.
So it's a musical about the internment camps that that we had the Japanese, our little Japanese friends do back in the 40s.
Pretty timely.
Yep, it's going to happen again, so just get used to
it. I like that they have been filming and releasing and then not only doing it live or a live stream, but then taking it and making it accessible in theaters later on.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome sauce.
It's interesting. I heard an interview with one of the actors from that on one of the podcasts I listened to. And the question was asked, and I'd often wondered, when they come in and shoot for a theatrical release, which has, they'll come in with booms and jimmy jibs, and they'll take several days to shoot it with the audience. Does then the Lincoln Center Library not do an archival filming for their archives?
I would think they would.
They do.
Yeah.
So it's completely different.
That's what I would think. Because it has to be a different setup, everything.
Yeah, because
reporting.
The archives, it's really just, really, I think, I've never seen one, but I think it's basically a long shot. Because
right.
You need to see the whole thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's funny. Actually, we were talking, because when we recorded Anne for DVD, I remember Holland had to add extra cameras on different sides that you wouldn't normally add just for archiving.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you say that, I did have this conversation. Yes, you are correct, Lisa Sheps.
I am correct.
And it's kind of fascinating, if you ask me.
It is. It is. So I'm going to try to go see Allegiance. So if anybody wants to go with me, it's playing at the theaters on Little Texas Highway down south. That's the one I'm going to be going to. So here's Michael Riedel put out an article on the 23rd of November saying movies about theater that will make your holiday even more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went through them to see. So I want to see how many of these people have seen. And I know this one nobody's seen because I don't think it's played here yet. It's The Best Worst Thing That Could Have Happened. I can't wait to see that. That's the documentary about Merrily We Roll Along.
Oh, okay. Yes. It opened, didn't it?
It opened in New York, but it's in limited release.
Right, okay.
So it's not here. A Double Life with
What's
Ronald Coleman.
Why do I not know that?
I don't know it either, and it's not on Netflix because I want to see it. I'll have to read y'all the description.
Okay.
Ronald Colman stars as a celebrated stage actor who slowly goes insane playing Shakespeare's Othello.
Oh, well, that's kind of awesome. Yeah. That's like, who doesn't want to see that?
I love that. So I did see this one, Original Cast Album Company, which is awesome.
Yes. Yep.
Sweet Smell of Success, which I've never seen either.
Some fun music in that.
Yep. Stage Door.
Oh.
Moon Over Broadway, which is not the other one. Moon Over Buffalo. This is another...
God, I haven't heard that in a long time.
It's a documentary about the out-of-town try-ups of Moon Over Buffalo.
Oh, is it? So it does have a... Yep. It does connect with it. It's just not direct interesting.
So the producers.
Great.
Both? I mean, Mel Brooks original is...
Pretty darn awesome. Pretty sauce. Okay. I know.
Yeah. So, Slings and Arrows,
yes.
Which is not a... Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've looked for it. It's not on any of my sharing
things.
I
have the DVD set.
Never seen it.
It used to be on Netflix, but I think it's off
now. It did.
Now, yeah.
And Chickalella got me hooked on it.
Yeah.
So I can share. And I ordered them a long time ago. And you can't get them anymore, but I will share my DVD.
Which we should tell folks it's not a movie, as the others were. This is a
series.
Yeah. From Canada.
Mm-hmm. From Canada.
Yeah. Canada, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. One day I'll tell you how they came up with the name Canada, because I know how.
It's a good story.
Amongst others. Okay, so let's see. We're getting to the bitter end of all this. So, Allegiance. There's also an article in the Times that came out with Ben Brantley's and Charles Isherwood's Best of 2016. And it's interesting on...
Offstage and On the Air was on there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our Broadway debut. Mm-hmm. Ben Brantley chose to choose plays that had political significance, but didn't put anything that had played before. So these were original Broadway. So here's some of these I hadn't even heard of, or I mean, I didn't remember. So the Gabriels... Which is the Rick Nelson sagas, which the election, they were like timely about the election.
Mm-hmm.
The Crucible, which I wish I had seen. The
that version looked really darn good.
Eva Von Hova.
Yeah.
Eva Von Hova, who's like everywhere.
Yeah, he's kind of like beautiful mind, genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underground Railroad Game.
We talked about that,
didn't
we?
I'm sure we did. A Life, which was pretty cool. The Wolves, Notes from the Field, which we did talk about. Mm-hmm. That was the Anna Deavere Smith. The Encounter, which was the one we talked about with the earphones.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't that the crazy... Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Heisenberg.
We talked about Heisenberg, yeah.
Yep. Hold On, Darling.
I don't remember
Hold On,
Darling.
I don't remember that one either. And then Oslo.
Hmm. It's an interesting group.
Charles Isherwood's were more mainstream, I'd say. So Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 18, whatever the date is.
It's the one with the Grobes.
Dear Evan Hansen, I'll be going to see that tomorrow night.
Yes, Jelly.
Watch my flight get delayed.
Don't say that.
Ride the Cyclone.
Listen, I'm putting jazz hands out right now.
Well, you know what? If I miss it, I'll go see it another night. Ride the Cyclone, which is that the story of the four or five kids that get thrown from a...
Roller coaster
and die. Sweat.
It's a very light evening.
Oh, yeah.
Falsettos, which is something else I plan to go see. The Crucible. 24 decade history of popular music, which I don't remember.
I don't even remember that.
Taylor Mac.
Really?
Indecent, Red Speedo, and Turn Me Loose.
Okay, how do you not love the name Indecent, Red Speedo?
Those are two different ones.
No, but
it
together.
Yeah, yeah. Combine them.
I was like, we're combining it. Indecent, Red Speedo.
It's kind of redundant, though.
That's the whole point. It's okay. Beautiful.
Play on redundancy. I got
so
it.
So the last thing that I'm going to talk about this morning, this afternoon, is we've talked about it here, about the musical The Bodyguard.
Yes.
Just opened at the Paper Mill Playhouse.
Yeah, and you know, I have to be honest, I thought it would come over from London a lot quicker than it did, but it didn't.
A lot of us are just sort of a little apprehensive about it.
Yeah.
But I was listening to one of my podcasts, and one of the guys went to go see it and said... the best thing he's ever seen.
Really?
And the review from, this is This is New Jersey, North Jersey Entertainment Weekly.
NJ.com.
Very.
No? Was it NJ.com? No.
No, it's NorthJersey.com. Could be NJ.com. Something to look at.
Well, I have to tell you, I love Heather Headley. And she did it in London when it first started. And I mean, come on, man. That's Aida.
Rachel Maron.
I know it's not the same chick, but when I watched the videos, I thought I was going to laugh. And I'm like, it's actually got some substance to it. Now, I laughed at Rocky Das Musical when it was in the Germany, even though I was in love with it. And you know I'm addicted to that musical. It was everything when I saw it here.
Yes, you are. So
quite fair.
The Bodyguard may do it.
All right. Well, then let's listen to a little bit of the most popular song from that show. From the oh my God, what's her name?
Guess who wrote that song?
Oh yeah, I was going to tell you. That's a Dolly Parton.
She did. She wrote it for the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas movie version, and she closed her show with it last
so
night.
So let's listen to Deborah Cox singing. I will always.
And I.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We are missing Mr. Nick Mayo, Nick Squared.
I know it's Nick
Squared.
Just solo.
Wah. That's our Foley artistry.
It's good.
It is true. When I say artistry, I mean artistry. We've been talking to Ben Wolf, Marie Falgren, and Zach Thomas, and now we're going to switch gears and talk specifically about why they are giving us their presence and talk about the show at Austin Playhouse, which is Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery.
It is indeed.
Not to be confused with The Hounds of the Baskervilles.
Right.
True. It is an adaptation
of
The Hound of the Baskervilles, though.
Relatively new adaptation as well.
Yeah, it was first performed in 2015.
Say within a year or so. Wow, that's brand spanking new.
Somebody tell us about this little show.
Well, it's a madcap little romp for sure. I play Dr. John Watson. Jason Newman plays Sherlock Holmes, and Marie Falgren, Zach Thomas, and Stephen Mercantile play all 37 other characters.
Everything else.
And it's about the mysterious curse on the Baskerville family and the dog that seems to haunt them, and Sherlock has to solve the mystery.
Does the dog have a name? I need to know.
It does not. It's just called The Hound.
The Hound.
It's
got a the.
There it is.
I'll have to think about that.
Please do it. Get back
to me.
We're not leaving this room.
Did you have a name in mind?
Sophie?
I was thinking we'll try it this weekend.
We can try Sophie this weekend.
Sophie is my dog.
That's why I'm laughing at her. I was like, okay, I get where we're going.
I'm not very creative. I'm just going to go with what I know. We could go with Trinket.
True.
Trinket? Okay.
Yeah, the dog I grew up with. Yes.
We'll try different ones every night.
So
we'll try different ones every night.
Well, we're gonna take a little a side trip here right now. While we were on the break, I asked Zach to choose a number between 2 and 54. And what did you say, Zach?
37.
37. Let's see what it is. And if it's one we've done before, we're gonna switch.
Okay.
And do the other one is what, 20? You had a different number.
26.
26. Okay. Well, let's just listen to 37.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Robert Biederman, playing Captain George Brackett in the cast of South Pacific on Tour, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
Okay, we have Robert Biederman all the time.
That Robert Biederman just stalks
us. So we are going to, at some point, as soon as I queue up 26, we'll see what that is just for giggles.
South Pacific would be timely on the anniversary of Pearl Harbor.
Is today the anniversary of Pearl Harbor?
Yes, it is, because today is also my great-grandmother's birthday. And
75th. There you go.
I know there's a whatever that service organization that flies vets, World War II vets. And they're going to Pearl Harbor. I guess they're there now from here. So, okay, today. Hound of Baskervilles. So you play Watson.
I do.
You're the smart one.
Sometimes, yeah.
So do we play up the cocaine business with Holmes in this one?
There is a mention of his quote-unquote filthy habits, but none of those filthy habits make it on stage, except for some pipe smoking on stage.
Yeah.
That does happen. There's a bit there.
So
kind of always think of him with a pipe, though.
True.
So this is Zany Man Cap. Do I hear that there's going to be a lot of physical humor in here as well?
It's not a big physical.
Yeah, it's pretty big
humor.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of a cross between 39 Steps and Young Frankenstein.
Oh, there you go.
It's a lot of Mel Brooks.
I like that combo.
Marie, how many characters do you play? Do you know?
I have 14.
14.
Yeah.
And Zach, I hear your load is not as big, but still
not as big in terms of characters. I play one character primarily in the second half.
Yeah,
so.
Because you're that good.
That good. That guy.
What's the character you play?
Sir Henry Baskerville from Texas.
Oh, that's right. So you've moved the, it originally was somewhere, located somewhere else, wasn't
Canada.
It?
Yeah, he was Canada. From Canada, yeah.
Oh, Canada, eh?
I knew that.
Canada.
It's a lot of Canada today.
Yeah, I'll tell you how they came up with that name someday.
Okay,
can't wait.
Do you have a favorite character, Marie?
Ooh, yeah, I do have a favorite character. Her name is Mrs. Barrymore. She's ridiculous.
Is she an actress?
No, she's not. She's just a very dramatic and passionate woman.
So she's an actress.
Sure. I guess. That's true. Yeah, yeah, I guess she is.
Oh, that's funny.
She could say she puts on airs. Sure.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she does. She has this great headpiece. It's like a braid made out of ear.
It's very Princess Leia.
Yeah, Princess Leia kind of.
Dead Princess piece. Leia.
Yeah, by Buffy Manners, who's amazing with the costume.
Buffy Manners is pretty amazing. So you guys are going to do a little scene for us, yes?
Yes, we are.
Because does somebody want to set it up for us? And will we see multiple characters, Marie?
No, there's just... Or just, hear multiple just who characters? We are. Yeah, okay. Just one each.
Okay. Yeah. So somebody set it up.
She wanted her Jekyll and Hyde moment.
So at this moment, we've already made it out to Baskerville Manor. To begin the investigation, and Watson is out on a stroll checking out the moor, and he runs into
Miss Stapleton.
While Henry is on his way.
Well, great. Well, this is Marie Falgren, Zach Thomas, and Ben Wolf doing a scene from Austin Playhouse's production of Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery.
Doctor, I'm sorry to have mistaken you for Sir Henry.
Not at all. But why are you so eager to get him away from here?
I know about the curse, that's all.
Please, be frank with me, Miss Stapleton. Ever since I've been here, I've been conscious of shadows everywhere. This world of yours seems all mud and darkness, with no trail to follow and with patches of danger to suck you in.
But that's what life is, Doctor. There is nothing else. There is no escape.
Hello? Dr. Watson?
I'm here.
You know, I get mighty tired of just sitting there doing paperwork while you're out here having a good time. Hi. I mean, how do you do? My name is... Oh, my Lord, you have beautiful eyes. I mean, I shouldn't have said that. Should I?
Oh, no, of course you should. I mean, it's quite all right. I'm Miss Stapleton, Beryl. I live here on your... mouth. Your moor. I mean the moors, because they're so beautiful. Oh, I'm being silly again.
Again? Now, when were you ever silly?
Just a minute ago, I was telling Dr. Watson that you should leave, but I was telling him to leave because I thought he was you, but he isn't you, is he?
No, he's not.
She was very upset. She insisted.
You make too much of it, Doctor. My brother and I were shocked by the death of Sir Charles, so when his heir came to live here, I became distressed.
You were distressed for me?
Yes, I was. I am. You must leave here for your own sake. Why live in a place that's been fatal to your family, a place of danger?
Because it is a place of danger. That makes life interesting. Besides... maybe now it's a place of something else. Or am I mistaken?
Oh, no. You're not mistaken. And yet it's foolish. You must leave here while you still have a chance. The danger here is very real and is not something to be laughed off because of momentary feelings of...
That sounds like a hound.
There it is.
What fun.
I was just going to say, that was a lot of fun.
It's tricky doing it over radio.
It's hard doing it over radio, but you know what? I thought to myself, I'm going to have to explain this, but then we didn't. We all got it.
So yeah, I got everything.
I was hoping everyone thought that Sir Henry was saying that Watson's eyes were beautiful. That's what I hope everyone got from the beginning.
Well, Watson's eyes are beautiful.
He does have pretty eyes. Yeah.
Pretty eyes. So yeah, that's a lot of fun. So we're all English accented except for our Texan.
Not all of them.
Marie has 14.
How many characters in the whole show?
Thank you.
It's like 40 plus characters. I guess I haven't really.
I think it's 40.
40,
total.
40 characters in the Watson show.
That's a lot. And how many actors again?
Five.
Yeah, see, that's a lot.
That's if I'm doing my math.
Yeah.
Madcap and zany and fun. Mm-hmm. And there are times when one person will leave stage left and 30 seconds later come on stage right as a completely different character.
We like to call that waka waka shows.
Those are waka waka shows.
It's a waka waka show. Yeah.
So I'm guessing you get your exercise. Y'all have opened, have you not?
Yes.
We have.
How's it going?
Houses have been great. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving weekend was fantastic. I guess everybody didn't want to discuss politics with their family and decided to come to the theater and laugh at us. So
yeah.
It was good. We run through December 18th.
Two more weekends.
And where are you? You're at the Austin Playhouse,
which is
Highland Mall. Mm-hmm. And I found, so with Highland, with the construction and things change a little bit, I guess it's important to know that is it the north entrance?
South
entrance. South entrance.
Yes.
That's what I meant to say.
South east. South entrance.
The south entrance, because if you don't know, if you end up going in the wrong entrance, you are in trouble.
There's a lot of signs.
There are some signs out.
Yeah.
Now that the election season is over, those signs are no longer covered up. So
oh, that's right.
Find them
yeah.
Because the last time I went there, it was during the election season and there were
lots of posters.
Where can folks go to get information about the show?
You can go to austinplayhouse.com.
Austinplayhouse.com or .org? I think, is it .org?
Oh, gosh.
I think it's .org. I have it as
.org.
You know what? If neither of those work, I'd suggest Googling Austin Playhouse because that works too.
It'll pop up, yeah.
Well, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us.
I hope if you have time, you can stick around and join us backstage amongst the dumpsters.
Absolutely.
Cool. That sounds fun.
It's my favorite place.
That's where I live. Okay. That was Marie Fogren, Zach Thomas, and Ben Wolf of Austin Playhouse production of Baskerville, a Sherlock Holmes mystery, playing now through December 18th. For more information, austinplayhouse.org. Or austinplayhouse.com, or just Google Austin Playhouse. But you'll get there.
They may both get you there.
They'll all get you there. Here we go. Let's go to London.
London, it's London.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole to the First Power.
Yeah, solo. Solo.
But we're shouting out to Nick Mayo.
I miss Nick Squared.
So the thing that we didn't talk about, and we should have here in this section, is the fact that the Statesman fired their staff reporter that was in charge of the arts, Jean Claire Van Ryzen.
They eliminated the role and position.
Yeah, like fired isn't fair to Jean Claire.
No, there is no longer an arts editor, arts writer, reviewer, reporter of full-time working
for the Statesman.
Yes.
So what does that say about the papers, the city's feeling about the value of the arts? It sends such a bad message to me.
It sends an awful message. It sends an awful, awful, awful message. It has me really not happy. We're known as this cultural community that keeps it weird and that has all this creative and artistic energy and influence, but now we're not important enough to have it covered, so to speak.
Well, is it? So I'll posit this: is it a commentary on how the city and or the media view the arts, or is it more of a commentary that print media is on the way out?
I believe the. I don't believe the Statesman wanted to get rid of her. I believe it's Cox Media who owns the Statesman. So I believe it's, you know, it's a hammer from on down. So that has to do with business and numbers. I knew it was a bad sign when we took our printing out of the Statesman in Austin and we now print in
Houston
and San Antonio. And, you know, everybody got a notice saying we won't have up-to-date scores. Like, you can't get the paper the next day and get the Longhorn scores.
Yeah.
So that right there was a red flag.
Well, that just floored me about not getting the Longhorn scores.
I'm not looking for them either, but I'm just saying, like, something that you would normally look the next day to see.
Well, but again, that I think is a commentary about the future of print.
The future of print and press and media in general.
I believe she's been replaced by a condo development reviewer. She's going to go around and review parking garages and office space and condominiums.
I think you're right.
It's going to be a great read.
I would be there. I'd be riveted by those.
I mean, I know we'll still get all the listings and you'll know events and things going on, but those really great pieces and interviews that you actually get to have with an artist or with a company or with a musician, now the music, Deb and Peter are there, but I just think that's where it's going to affect us, and it's sad.
It is sad, and it does. I do think it's a commentary on how the importance on, or the feeling that there's a lack of importance upon arts issues in general. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a quick side thing before we go into today in theater history, and see what 26 was, shall we?
Yes, let's.
Well, just because it'll be fun.
Hi, I'm Caressa Cameron, Miss America 2010, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
Okay, I don't think we've had her for a while.
Yeah, no, we haven't.
Yep, so that's good.
There you go. Caressa
Cameron, 2010. That's how we've been on the air for a long
time.
We
have, Lisa. Yeah. I feel like we're old.
We're old. So we're going to do
withered, Lisa.
A relatively abbreviated Today in Theater History, mainly because I didn't bring the printout with me and I've got to read it from the computer and my eyes don't work. So
you put your glasses on and then took your glasses off.
I can't get close enough to the... It's bad.
You're like, my eyes don't work. Put the glasses on.
1931. It's the birthday of Ellen Stewart.
Bon anniversaire.
Bon anniversaire. She is Mr. and Mrs. Stewart's young girl.
And who does she turn out to be?
She started La Mama Experimental Theater.
Oh, it's La Mama. Yes, I didn't... Oh, that's a good one.
Yep. Let's see. 1946 is the... I wasn't actually going to read this because I don't know who this person is. The death of Lorette Taylor. She did Peggo My Heart and J. Harley Manners.
Peggo My Heart. I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know who she is, but that's interesting.
This was also in 2003. This was HBO's TV adaptation of Tony Kirchner's Angels in America. Oh. I was just talking about this last
night.
That's
so funny. I was talking about this like a week ago.
Meryl Streep's performance as Ethel Rosenberg. I'm speechless.
I was having the same conversation with someone else like a week ago.
Yeah, I was talking to someone because I was talking to Patty Neftivin, who we should send out positive vibes
to
her.
Patty.
She's got some health stuff going on today. So she was talking about seeing this show called movie... I don't know, but it's about Leopold and Loeb. And then we just started talking about the different dual names of people that are infamous or famous. And we talked about the Rosenbergs. Anyway, so that's what that. 2014, this was the premiere of the Broadway revival of Elephant Man at the Booth.
Oh, with Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And this was the world premiere, I know you'll like this, of David Bowie's... this was off-Broadway of Lazarus, directed by Eva Von Hova.
Because the man is...
He's everywhere.
Beautiful mind, brilliant. I know.
Birthdays, Eli Wallach. Ellen Burstyn.
Oh.
Jeffrey Wright. Oh. And the screen just disappeared. Doesn't want you to see. Stephanie DiBruzio.
Oh.
And I wrote down our locals, and I don't have the sheet, but I do know that one is Latifa Taramina.
Yes.
and there were like four others, and I don't remember. They are by my memory, so I apologize.
Number one, happy birthday. Number two person, happy birthday. Number three person, happy birthday. And oh my God, it's number four's birthday too.
I didn't know where you were going with that, but got it.
I love them.
They're great.
We're going to take a little break. We are going to listen to...
I like this choice.
This was also on the opening. I didn't even realize it was a musical. High Fidelity, which was a movie and a book, was also a musical. It didn't do very well.
No, it didn't. I was going to say it didn't do well.
So that's what we're going to listen to, a little bit of that. We'll be back.
Number five with a bullet.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
We stream this puppy live at koop.org. I thought we were going to have time to chit-chat about this, but we don't because we got to run right into the interview.
Talk more backstage.
But once again, yeah, if we don't have enough time to run the whole interview, you can pick up the whole interview on offstageonair.com on the podcast. You should be listening to the podcast anyway.
Hello.
Okay. So I was able to talk to the gentleman playing, I totally forgot his name and I didn't write it down. Staines is his last name, who's playing Topfer in the current Broadway Across America Cinderella, which I saw last night.
I know.
Had a great time. Those costumes are lovely, lovely fun. And the actors had a good time. There was really nothing.
It's my favorite Rodgers and Hammerstein musical and some of the best music. I really do.
The only issue with going to see something like Cinderella and others that are for kids is if you're a stodgy adult like I am, you have got to let go of some of that stuff because there are kids in the audience.
In their dresses. And excited.
And excited. They're talking. Their parents are talking to them. There's really no way you can get away with not listening. But anyway, so let's listen to
but
this.
But what I call that is a wonderful holiday experience for families.
Yeah, for those families. But mm-hmm. those of us that are single and old and crotchety, not so much. But here we go. Let's listen to the interview. I have on the phone, directly from somewhere in the country, Mr. Hayden Staines. He is playing...
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Hayden, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hayden plays Topfer in Broadway Across America's production of Cinderella that is playing right now at Bass Concert Hall. But we're getting you... Where are you, Topfer? Hayden, I'm going to call you Topfer.
Oh,
where are you?
Yes. You know what? I reply to both. No
oh,
worries.
That's good.
Where am I in the world right now? Right now, I'm in Lawrence, Kansas.
Ah, that's a very famous city. You know, I looked at your schedule today. You are all over the shop.
Yeah, we've got we're hitting up quite a few cities this week.
So
a couple in Kansas, and yeah.
Well, you know what? You're not in Kansas anymore.
I'm sure not.
But I'm pumped. So you're playing Topfer. Tell folks who Topfer is.
Yeah, Prince Topfer, formerly known as Prince Charming.
Yeah.
It's kind of the new take on the character of Prince Charming. It's definitely a departure from the, you know, kind of the Disney version of Prince Charming, who's the dashing prince who has it all together and saves the girl. Prince Topfer, this version, has a little bit more of a journey. He has to learn a lot more before he can become a real leader.
Right. So now this is the new version, and I'm using air quotes here, of Cinderella. So most of us grew up with our favorite TV version. So I'm old. My version is the Leslie Ann Warren version. But I just absolutely love, and probably many of our listeners, their version is the Brandy version.
Of course, yeah.
Which is just a wonderful version, actually. I love it. I love the
it really is. It's an amazing version.
Exactly. But now this is the new version that opened, 2 years ago, 2013 in New York?
I want to say 2013.
Well, want to say it, then just go ahead and say it.
I'm going to say it.
Okay. So it's slightly different. It's not your father's Oldsmobile. There's a little bit of difference. Without giving anything away, what can folks that are familiar with Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, are they going to see here that's maybe a little different?
Yeah. Well, the main difference is the updated script. The songs are all still from the Rodgers and Hammerstein canon. So you do get the mixture from both the made-for-TV version that originated and then also the Brandy version. And then you'll hear songs from other Rodgers and Hammerstein classics that didn't quite get to popularity. But you're going to have this score intermingled with a new script that Douglas Carter Bean, who has written a lot of comedy and a lot of satire, and he wrote the screenwrite for one of my favorite movies, Tu Wong Fu. So it's like very contemporary humor. And you're going to find and expect some interesting pop, like, culture, like, current references, and mm-hmm. also new twists in the classic Cinderella story.
Right. So, I mean, one of the ones that I don't think I'm giving anything away here because it was widely reported when it opened, but it, in many ways, humanizes the stepsisters.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a huge, huge twist in it. So Gabrielle, one of the stepsisters, she has a more humane side to her that she kind of discovers and begins to respond to when she befriends Cinderella. And she even falls in love herself.
Yes, she does. That's actually very exciting.
Yeah, it is. And oh, sorry, go on.
No, you go. You're more important than I am.
Charlotte, the other stepsister, she also is still a slice of wicked, but mainly comedically just wanting power. In a very comedic way, because she doesn't exactly know how to get that.
Right. So
the two stepsisters are a little bit more humanized in that way. Definitely.
Right. We're going away from the stereotype. And then, as a matter of fact, the whole new script basically steers away from stereotype and more about
Absolutely.
Archetypes.
Uh-huh.
See?
Yeah, and it definitely has a big feminist movement in it, actually, mm-hmm. which is very interesting, particularly with Cinderella.
So before we go away from the stepsisters, I just have to take a quick tangent because that's what I'm famous for on doing on my show. Have you read Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister by McGuire?
No, I haven't.
So Gregory McGuire, as you probably know, wrote Wicked.
Yes.
The novel, which I was well familiar with before the musical came out. Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister is also written by him, and it is by far my favorite book of his. So you might want to take that on to your fellow cast members and give that to them as a homework assignment.
I think I might. I mean, I love the original Wicked novels.
Oh, wasn't it great?
They're very interesting. Well, I'll definitely have to give that a read and give it a suggest.
So bottom line is this version of Cinderella is going to be a little bit different, and I would just venture – I'll just go out on a limb and say better than what we all grew up with. It's got a little bit more substance.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's better in the way that there's more for audiences now to connect to.
Yep. And what's your favorite part about doing this show? Personally.
I mean, there's definitely the obvious of having the kids in the front row just beaming, looking up at us on stage. I mean, it's really special seeing little girls and little boys coming to the show and coming to the stage door after and meeting the people. It's really special. I mean, I would say that first and foremost, but I mean, for me, it's singing that score. That score is
you get to sing 10 minutes ago. I just love that song.
Exactly. It's like one of my first audition songs ever when I was in middle school.
I'm crying right now just thinking about it.
Exactly. It's an honor.
And I'll tell you, if you don't want to go to this show for the story, I'm guessing folks are going to want to go to see William Ivy Long's costumes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hands down. They're stunning. They're the exact ones from Broadway.
Yeah.
And the transformations that happen before your eyes on stage, that it happens in this tour, too.
As my mother says, it's to die for.
It's to die for. Where's your mother from?
I added the New York accent.
Okay,
she's from Michigan.
Like, interesting. I may have met your mom. I don't know.
You may have, darling. But you've done an awful lot. You spent some time on Disney Cruise Lines.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I am very familiar with cruising and working on the cruise ships. The Royal Caribbean was a client of ours, and we did a lot of shows on board the Royal Caribbean ships. And it's just amazing. Cruise life is very different, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. It is. You know, a lot of people think that it's all vacation roses. That's a bad image. I don't know why I said that, but
it's okay. I like vacation roses.
Thank you. We'll go with vacation roses.
Good.
I mean, and to big extent, yes, absolutely. I was on a beach every other day of the week. I mean, that's incredible in and of itself. Even though I did have to work at night, and sometimes, you know, for hours during the day. But you're very isolated too.
Well, the one good thing about being in the cast on a cruise ship, I don't know about the Disney lines, but in on Royal Caribbean, the cast is not only available to or able to, but they're also encouraged to visit and socialize with the guests.
Definitely. Yeah, that was nice, is that, you know, and for us, for the performers, we were out in the lobby, you know, also greeting Mickey and Minnie and Donald and Goofy, and we got to also interact with the guests in that way too, which was, it was very enjoyable.
Well, excellent. So let me ask you this. We do a segment here called Backstage at Offstage, which we do on our podcast. But since I just have you this time, I'm gonna just have you talk to us right here and tell folks how did you find your way into the glorious world of theater?
It was one that I kind of didn't expect to. My family is all musically inclined in one way or another. My mother, who pushed us all to be the best versions of ourselves that we could be, she encouraged us all to play a musical instrument. So I definitely played piano, and then I picked up the French horn and played that for a while. And I was joining choir at school, but I wasn't really doing theater, and I wasn't auditioning for any of the shows. I was too busy playing sports and swimming and then something just kind of happened. Like in high school, there was a local production of Seussical the Musical happening in, Durango, Colorado, where I grew up.
I have played Durango, Colorado.
Oh, really?
Yes. With the Joffrey Ballet. I was there several times, actually.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. It's a very special place to me.
That's a beautiful area of the world. So what did you play in Seussical?
There is. So I randomly auditioned, sort of encouraged by my mother, and I was the second singing monkey. So I, you know, was in the back with the Wickersham brothers singing
Lovely.
About Horton and a flower and the Who's and or clover, excuse me. Yeah, but I just had so much fun.
Well, that's
awesome.
I didn't
expect to.
And I love that your parents encouraged you. And a shout out to your mother. What's your mother's name?
Absolutely, Susan.
Shout out to Susan.
Yes.
So yeah, so that is great. Well, have you been to Austin before?
I have. Yeah. So my brother lives in Houston, in the Spring area, mm-hmm. and he's actually coming to see the show this week. And he's going to be there, and we have had a road trip there. I've spent a couple days there. It was very quick, though. It was like a weekend getaway. So I'm excited to be here for a whole week.
So what are you looking forward to doing on your off time when you're here?
Well, when I went there last, I ate at, I'm blanking on it. The Bratwurst place, not the Bratwurst place.
Schultz's Garden?
It's a beer garden, and
Schultz's, very famous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I ate there, and it was amazing. So probably we'll go back there, but also just really want to try some good barbecue.
Yeah, you're gonna want to do barbecue. Hire someone to stand in line at Franklin's, or go to Micklewaite's. Micklewaite's is a lovely place, and they are a great sponsor of this radio station.
Okay. I'm taking all of these notes. I'm open to all suggestions.
Well, wonderful.
I don't know. The good food, good music. I don't know. I'm excited to find out what the nightlife is there. So it'll be fun.
I know you'll enjoy it. We are looking so forward to having you here. I will be seeing you. Well, by the time this airs, I will have seen the show. I'm coming to see you Tuesday night.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Lovely. I'm looking forward to the week. It's going to be fun.
Wonderful. Hayden, thank you so much for spending time with us on Offstage and on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
That was Hayden Staines. He plays Topfer in Broadway Across America's production of Cinderella. Playing now through December 11th at Bass Concert Hall. For more information, you may visit austin.broadway.com.
Are you real?
here.
It's all a mystery. So we just got a few more minutes left. I will say that I saw Cinderella last night. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a beautiful show. It's easy to watch. It's a cool 2 hours. And the music, as you say, is just gorgeous.
Yeah, there's
and I
some
thought of you when she
songs.
Sang "My Little Chair."
My own little corner.
There's a wonderful juxtaposition that they do when she's singing "In My Own Little Corner," "In My Own Little Chair," and at the end he comes on in his big throne singing "Encounter," his own little corner and his own little chair.
Yeah, in the giant big
big old throne. So
it's such a pretty little song.
It is. I mean, there's so much beautiful music.
You know that Rodgers and Hammerstein.
They may get somewhere.
They
if they
may
keep
do
on.
Something if they write some hits like that. And this one has four new songs.
And I have to tell you that if I know that many times you are a purist, but this rewrite is good. It's good for it updates the really awful, unpolitically correct things that it used to be, and I like it. I like the new storylines. It's got four new songs. It's got new characters. It's got new story arcs. I think it's good. I think it adds a complexity that it didn't have before.
Well, I was getting down with Dolly about 50 feet from you as you were getting down with Cindy.
There you go. So if you're not listening to the podcast, you should. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio. And I don't know, if you think hard enough, it'll just show up in your head. But
if the best way, just go to offstageonair.com, enter your email into the little box, and hello, we just appear in your mailbox every week. You don't have to go looking for us. We come looking for you.
Excellent. So if you're listening to the broadcast, stand by for Austin Monitor News. They are next. If you're listening to the podcast, stick around. We're going to have Backstage. So Nicole and I, and hopefully Nick
Mayo. I think
Mayo,
Nick Squared should be back
we'll
next week.
We'll be here next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And what am I going out with? Oh, this is just for my trip to New York.
New York, New York, New York, New York. It's a hell of a town. We've got one day here and not another minute.
Well, the curtain has just come down on Drinking Water, the musical, the story of a hapless young glass of water. I've got nothing. I got nothing today, so it's nothing.
Was the glass half empty or half full?
With me,
that is the question.
It's me half empty. Well, here we are backstage.
It would be full of space.
Say that again.
Were it empty, it would be full of space.
Oh, there you go.
And you would have the use of the space therein.
These are the questions answered.
Wow. Okay.
You didn't think water could be so deep.
I didn't. how many transcendental philosophers does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many,
fish.
Lisa?
We are joined here outside.
The fact that we're at least amusing ourselves is wonderful.
Exactly. So we're joined out here outside the backstage door amongst the dumpsters here at the theater with me, Marie Fahlgren.
Hello.
Is it Fahlgren, Fahlgren? What's
it's
the problem?
It's
Fahlgren.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Like
I'm trying.
You're doing great.
Zach
yeah.
Thomas?
You pronounced that correctly.
That easy. Ben Wolfie.
Hello, yes.
Ben Wolfie. Have people called you Wolfie
oh, yeah.
before?
Oh,
no, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
My dad, when he was in the army, some of his soldiers would call him Wolfie.
Well, you know that I could see would be a good like yeah. nickname, but like intentionally, do people really think you're?
Oh,
left?
No.
No. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Do you know where, is a great
do you
nickname.
Know where many countries keep their armies?
Where?
In their sleeveys.
And Zach was on that with you. Just so you know.
It's an oldie but goldie.
An oldie but goldie.
So, Ben,
like
have
that.
You been backstage with us before? Have you done this backstage thing?
Once.
I thought
yeah.
you'd been back here.
I can't remember.
But it's been a really
been a
long
time.
Time.
I'm trying to remember what show that was for. I don't remember off the top of my head. But
well, I'm glad you're here again.
I don't remember
glad
either.
Glad to be here.
And so, Marie, what's yes. your story? Where are you from?
I'm from Glasgow, Montana.
Glasgow, Montana. When you said Glasgow, I thought you were going to say something else.
Yeah, Glasgow.
Where is Glasgow in relation to Missoula? I know where Missoula
so,
okay. is.
Okay, it's like 8 hours.
Nine.
Jeez, nine.
See, Zacho is from Montana as well, so he always adds an extra hour or whatever. It's a true 8 hours, but Zach says nine.
I see two lanes.
A little
highway.
Further.
Nine.
So, yeah, that's where I went to college, actually.
So, are y'all from the same part of Montana?
No.
No.
I wish you had a camera for the look at the same time.
I toured with Joffrey Ballet's Third Company years ago in the 80s, and we drove through we passed Missoula so many times.
Of course.
And there's a big M on a hill.
That's right.
You keep because you kept going around the state so much, you just kept cruising by Missoula.
There's only one interstate that goes east and west.
I'm not quite sure whether we actually played Missoula. We must have.
But you went by
We went by it several times.
I bet you
did you do theater in Montana?
Yeah, I did.
Now, did y'all meet in Montana?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all move here together?
We did.
Okay, thanks for being on the show.
You put it together.
Did you meet at school?
No.
How did you meet if you're from the opposite sides of Montana?
We both went to school in Missoula, but at different times, and we had mutual friends.
We met in passing when I was a senior and she was a freshman. But then we ended up doing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest together.
About 5 years later.
Bringing couples together all the time.
Yeah. And did you play Ratchet? And did you play what's his name?
I wish I played Ratchet.
No, I was...
what's his name? Murphy.
I was not Murphy. I was Murphy's nemesis.
Harding.
The Indian?
Harding.
Harding.
Harding, yeah. Oh, you and I, Harding.
Harding.
That she Harding.
Was. I was Candy Star.
So how did everybody find themselves in theater in general?
Oh, gosh.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I was dared into it by a mean senior girl when I was a freshman.
You were not.
Really?
Dared into it. So you were like, this is that typical teen movie thing where so were you a sportsy guy?
Yeah.
I went to a sportsy school and I was a sportsy guy.
What was your sport?
Football, basketball.
I didn't even know that was a sport.
It's an interesting amalgamation for sure.
They do crazy things up there in Montana.
So what was the dare and what was the show?
The show was the unsinkable Molly Brown. Auditions were being held
to New York
for the spring musical, and we were walking down the hallway, and my best friend's sister was big in the theater. She was also All-State in three sports, and that was kind of what our school was. Anyway, we were walking down the hallway. I was considering trying out for the musical already. This girl came out and basically got in my face, called me a dumb jock, and told me I didn't have the stones to audition for the musical. So
you showed her?
I did. And it was, I don't know.
We
kind of instantly fell in love with it. Played eight characters in that, all bit roles. But the waiters on the Titanic were a couple of very foppish French waiters. And
FFWs, we call them.
Yes, FFWs. And we were bringing the house down with that number to the point where people were just showing up to see that. People were squirting us with water guns out of the rigging system. Like, it was all of a sudden hysteria in the room. And then it would go back to the rest of the show, and people would kind of leave. So, but there was an amazing amount of power in that.
Got a little hooked.
They got hooked.
Well, that's a
cool story.
That's a very Glee High School Musical story.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Zach is the opposite of Glee.
I only saw it because I had to see it for a High School Musical once.
Did you watch it?
A couple years ago? Yeah, twice. Yeah. I had to see two different productions of it. So then were you in high school at this time, or is this college?
This is high school.
High school.
Yeah.
Okay, freshman. In Montana.
Freshman in high school, beautiful Butte, Montana. Butte Central.
You're in Butte.
Catholic.
Butte.
Mm-hmm. Montana is beautiful.
Like, mighty Butte.
There's a lot of national park passport stamps to be had while you are there.
Very true.
Beautiful, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Maria or Ben, how did y'all find yourselves in theater?
My first experience was, I guess, in fifth grade, playing some king in some show with frozen strawberries, and it was
love
a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I love
delicious.
That there's a king with frozen strawberries.
Were you also in Montana?
I was not. at this point, I think I was living in Korea, actually.
Oh, really?
Fifth grade.
Oh,
wow. Yeah, army brat all the way.
So. I didn't realize you lived in Korea. Mm-hmm. So you were, how many countries did you live in?
As far as countries, just two. I lived in Korea for a few years and then lived in Germany. I was actually living in Germany when the wall came down.
Wow.
And then moved to Berlin 2 years after that. So that was really cool getting to be in Berlin, sort of in the midst of the freedom frenzy, which was really neat. And that's also in Berlin is where I really kind of decided it was my freshman year of high school. I was the stereotypical introvert and theater just gave me an opportunity to do
You went
something
to the
else.
Kit Kat Club and you were hooked, right?
Oh, sure. That was it.
So were you in an expat, all English, American kind of school?
It was a German-American school. Uh-huh. You had to speak English to get in. You didn't have to speak German, but you did have to take English and German all 4 years that you
Duh.
Moved. It was great. It was a great school. Really enjoyed it.
They had a theater program there.
And they had a theater program, and you know, the Germans go to 13th grade as opposed to 12th. Mm-hmm. But for the American students, you'd go through your 12th year. But the school also
and
had
you say, see you later, suckers. We're off.
Yeah. But starting in your freshman year, they gave you tons of freedom. You could run around and go off campus. It was great. You know, really sort of.
So now you were there when the wall came down. So you were in West Berlin.
I was in Wiesbaden, Germany in 89 when the wall fell, and then moved to West Berlin in 91.
Because wow. I just learned 3 days ago that that West Berlin is actually an island inside Berlin.
It is.
Mm-hmm. That I didn't realize that. I'd always thought, like so many people, and she said when she told me this, she said everybody thinks this, I thought the wall sort of bisected Germany.
Right.
But it doesn't.
A lot of parts of it are actually still there, mm-hmm. even though it's down.
They have a brick inlay of the wall.
It's in a few, it's in multiple different pieces.
Yeah.
My friend from West Berlin was camping and in the woods and came out of the woods 4 days later and found out this all happened.
Oh, wow.
So that's great. Did you ever do any shows in German?
I didn't do any shows in German. I didn't pick up enough German to do it. But we did go see a ballet of Don Quixote that was in German. Like they had some dialogue and it was all in German. It was really quite innovative. And
that's kind of cool.
Really neat.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And then how did you find yourself in Austin?
After I left Germany, I went to high school in Killeen, Texas.
Ah, okay.
And graduated from Killeen, and then it was only like 90 minutes to
here. There you go. And the rest is history.
That's it.
The rest is history. Marie, what about you?
How'd I get to theater?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's good.
So Glasgow's like in the middle of nowhere, like an hour
in Scotland,
from
Canada. For gosh sake.
Yeah.
We live there too.
I started theater. There was this huge old movie theater that was built during the New Deal, and we have this dam built close to my hometown, and so this huge like 1,000-seat house movie theater was made for the workers while they were building this dam. It shut down, and then these wonderful hippies of the 70s came back and they opened the theater again and made it a theater, performing theater, and I would do theater there every summer growing up. So one summer my dad went to China for a month and my mom had 5 kids and no dad, and she was like, we're doing theater all summer, so you guys have babysitters for free pretty much. And so we did Hello Dolly, and I was like 2 years old, and my mom would hold me, she was in as well, and she would hold me on stage, and I would cry when I wanted to on stage and totally steal the scene from whoever was
never work with kids.
Yeah, never work with kids. And I was so ever since I was 2, I've been on stage.
That is
awesome.
Yeah. So your mother was a thespian of sorts.
Yeah, she's an artist of many veins. She performs not as much, but I think she mainly just did it for the kids.
So that's what that sort of gave the bug to you, and you never got
definitely
out.
Definitely the Four Peck Summer Theater. Yeah.
So Zach mentioned that y'all lived in Scotland too.
We did.
So I guess we should tell folks that you guys are a couple if they haven't figured this out.
We are married.
You are married. And you went to Scotland. You lived in Scotland?
We did for 6 months.
That's cool.
How'd you get there? Yeah.
Really
I'm guessing
random.
They flew.
We did fly.
They could have taken a boat.
8 times in 2.5 years to start our relationship. We moved to New York, then back to Montana, and then to another place in Montana, and then to Scotland, and then to Montana, and then to another place in Montana, and then to Austin, finally. So we were moving.
But Zach had a friend in Glasgow going to university studying music, and it was his last year at the uni, and him and Zach had been writing music together for a while, and so he invited us over to write music. Not
we
me
had access
but
to the recording studio.
Wow,
that's cool.
Yeah,
so do we all do musicals? Ben, do you do musicals?
I don't.
You don't?
I'm a very poor singer. They force me to do it sometimes.
I prefer not to.
Really?
Yeah.
Marie?
I grew up doing a lot of musicals, but
so are you a triple threat?
I don't know. Maybe. No, well, I'm not. I'm not a triple threat.
If that's your answer, then the answer is no.
I dabble in all three, but yeah.
Well, the good news is you started in Hello, Dolly.
I did, yeah. That is the good news.
You can go to New York right now and finish in Hello, Dolly. Oh, or not finish.
Finish. I hope I don't have to finish.
No, not
yeah.
finish. It's return to Hello,
return
Dolly.
I'll be the baby again. Is that if that works?
Yeah. yeah.
Or Ermengarde. I like Ermengarde.
Hottest ticket.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you listen really carefully, you can hear Hello, Dolly in the background right now.
I know.
I heard it.
Good.
I heard it. It's here.
It's how Dolly opened her show last night.
Did she really?
Yep. Hello, Dolly. Ope started the show, and she came out.
Speaking of that, and then we have to go. Did she talk about because the fires out there are threatening?
She talked
Dollywood.
About the fires, and she, you know, she started the People's Fund, and we saw her do a video a week ago where she's donating $1,000 a month for up to 6 months for every family that lost stuff. She realized that wasn't enough, and actually on Tuesday she will be doing a live telefund to raise even more money for the People's Fund and donate to the folks at Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. She spent a lot of time talking about that. She's really one hell of a lady.
She is.
That all gives right. back. She talked about her literacy book program that's global now. I mean, cool. she promoted it all and asked people to be kind.
Excellent. Cool. Well, if folks want more information, they can Google Dolly Parton and philanthropy, and you'll probably find it. So thank you guys for joining us backstage.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Be careful. There's still puddles from the rain. So just be careful.
It's nice to have you back where you belong.
It's so nice.
Bye.